From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hi, welcome in, everybody. It is time for a Friday edition of Jaguars Today, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Those guys have been busy all week long. If you need help with your situation at your house, maybe you're just getting back in with power. As of yesterday, still 10,000 without power in Jacksonville. If you need to have your roof looked at, inspected, checked out, or if you've got some leaks that have developed, hopefully you don't. But 287-7756, the number for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on this Friday morning. It's going to be a Keys to Victory Friday, as it always is. David Garrard out of town today, so he won't be in. And he won't be here to sway the voting, Tony. It is election season, right? We're told that maybe the most important election in the history of the world, right? I'm not talking about the presidential election right here. Aussie Jag on Twitter has put this one out this morning. Name your favorite weekday guest on Jaguars Today with Mike, Tony, and Tyler. And he gave you the choices of Jeff Lagerman, Ryan O'Halloran, John Osier, and David Garrard. And I retweeted that out there. And I got to say right now, I had a hunch how the poll might go. It's a four-way race right now is what we've got, Tony. All, I think, well within the margin of error. I think any of these guys could still come out on top before it's all said and done. For some reason, Aussie Jag has decided to put this up for like 18 hours, not 24, not 2. So feel free to vote on that, and we will have fun at the loser's expense because that's kind of my nature, you know? Elsewise, you can weigh in on social media at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page with your keys to victory. We'll discuss some of John Gruden's comments. Best coach in the league is Gus Bradley.
According to Mr. Gruden,
best coach in the league. We tell you, that's the thing. It's a disease that he embodies more than most, that whatever's right in front of you at that moment for sportscasters is the best something.
Yeah.
Something is the best about it, but to take that leap and go.
Welcome
with,
in, John.
Thanks for having me.
I'm fired up.
Best coach in the league. Apparently he was. Maybe he fired something up. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that. We'll hear from Gus throughout the course of the show today. Tony, you caught up with a couple of Jags in the locker room yesterday as well. Who are we going to hear from today?
Aaron Colvin, obviously making the return off the 4-game suspension, so he's really excited to be back out there on the field, and also had the opportunity to talk to Roy Miller a little bit, and not only about the matchup coming up against Chicago this week, because it'll be tough sledding there on that interior with Sitton and Kyle Long up front for that Bears team, but also just kind of the state of this Jaguars defense right now. 4 games in with all these new pieces, talking about a bunch of the new guys there on that side of the ball, and got to ask him about, is there a difference in attitude with this football team and especially this defense this year compared to the past 3 years that he's been here? And his answer is interesting,
all
as
right,
always.
That's coming up a little bit later on. You can hear his answer for yourself later today on Jaguars Today. John Osher is going to join us. Practice just opened up, the open portion to the media. When that closes, Johnny's going to pop in and before he heads to the locker room for some reporting duties this morning. So we'll get the latest from John as the team gets ready to embark their way to Chicago to take on the Bears week 6 of the National Football League season. You want to get in today? 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the number for the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll check in with that periodically as well. Keys to Victory Friday. It's Jaguars Today, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
He's the best coach, I think, in the league. If I could hire one coach to be on my team today, I'm not kidding, I'd hire Gus Bradley.
That's John Gruden. Especially 2 weeks ago, you would have had a lot of folks telling John Gruden, please do. Right? Do you have a team? Because that would be okay with us. Maybe a little less of that after the first victory of the season.
Sure. Tony,
but when you're that over the top, man, I mean, look, I get it. Gus has a great personality. He's as good a man as I think is any coach that I know of in the league. But the track record does not bear that out.
Not as a head coach.
You know,
look, he was a really, really good assistant coach.
Absolutely.
And with John Gruden, they had a lot of success together.
And that's that answer, that little snippet that you heard right there was part of a longer answer. John Gruden, I think they did the show live yesterday? Was that
Did it live with him coming in?
He was okay. He did come in live for...
He snuck in the last couple segments.
Right. Jaguars Thursday or the Gus Bradley show? Doesn't matter.
That was the Loggeman and Gus on the Gus Bradley show.
It was. So he was in there. Okay. So you're in the room with him. This was a question posed to John Gruden. He basically was asked about the hiring of Gus Bradley in Tampa and also thoughts of him as a coach. So listen to the entire answer.
Lives, we lost some good coaches. Mike Tomlin left, got a head coaching job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I lost Rod Marinelli, got a Lions head coaching job. Joe Barry, everybody's leaving. My coaches left me. I got to interview a linebacker coach. I got to find somebody. And I must have interviewed with Monty Kiffin 30 coaches, former head coaches, former defensive coordinators. And finally, Monty Kiffin says, I got our guy, Gus Bradley from North Dakota State. I said, that's what I need.
From where?
I need a coach from North Dakota State to coach our line. That's what I need. I need North Dakota State to coach Derek Brooks. This young kid comes in there. He's unbelievable. I've not been around the energy, the information, just the concise the enthusiasm, the aptitude of football that Gus Bradley has, and he's the best coach, I think, in the league. If I could hire one coach to be on my team today, I'm not kidding you, I'd hire Gus Bradley. That's what the impression he made on me. He inherited a very difficult situation here. Nobody wants to admit it these days, but you watch the next four games, what happens. The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
Well, I hope he's right about that.
The moon is going to move. I like that.
Yes, the moon is going to move. We've already gotten that as a key to victory, by the way, and from a number of respondents. The moon moving will be one of those keys that we're looking for. I hope he's right about that. 95% of what he said there, Tony, is perfectly fine. And if he had just said, you know what, despite the record, I would still hire Gus Bradley today, whether that would be as an assistant coach, a defensive coordinator, a head coach. I believe in the guy. He just got a little carried away there, I think, with the whole he is the best coach in the league. If you want to say I'm still hiring,
and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
I hope he's right. What if they don't? So if the next four games is going to determine if he remains the best coach in the National Football League,
we'll
John?
We'll see.
Yes, we will see.
The next time Gruden's here in 2020. I mean, he just hasn't been in town all that often.
I suppose. Let's hear from the best coach in the league, Gus Bradley. Started things off yesterday with the media with an update on injuries, how things stand after the bye week.
You know, you got guys like Jared Odrick that definitely benefited, Julius Thomas. So it came at a really good time for us. You know, these guys got an extra week just to get healthy. You're always going to have a few nicks, some guys that maybe aren't quite 100%, but that's how the season's going to go. You know, rarely do you see a guy go through the whole year not being that. So I think we're in great health. We got a few guys, just some nicks that we're looking at now. Might have to make some decisions on Sunday if they're playing or not. But for the most part, very healthy.
Yeah, Luke Joeckel might not agree. But other than that, Tony, there's no excuse. If you do truly have the talent we think you have, there's no excuse now because this is as ready as that collective group of talent has been. You got Miles Jack to the point now where you've got him in the starting lineup. You've got Chris Ivory back healthy. You've got your entire offensive line minus Joeckel as what it's going to be going forward. You know, Marquise Lee has stayed off the injury report. Julius Thomas coming back. Odrick coming back. This is it. Let's go out there and start to play ball and start to get on a roll.
Well, yeah, and Colvin's back. Defensively,
Colvin, sure.
I don't think they've been anywhere close to this game ready, right? And it's something we talked about with O'Halloran when he was in here yesterday, the difficult decisions they're going to have to make along that defensive line as far as who is going to be active and who's going to be inactive. And I think they haven't been put in a position through the first four games where they really had to make a decision about that. It was made for them based on who was available to them essentially during that week and the kind of numbers games they had to play with other positions. Well, this week they don't have to do that. They just have to figure out who is the best available players for them this week to go beat the Chicago Bears. And honestly, they just haven't been in that position at this point this year. And look, they did lose their starting left guard. I mean, that is the guy that they felt like was their best option at that position. Now, how well or poorly was Luke Joeckel playing? I don't know. You know, the guys that look at that stuff, Pacelli and Loggeman, tell us that he was playing just fine at the spot. So I believe that he was playing just fine. And they also tell me it's not going to be a big drop-off with Patrick Amame. So I'll trust them on that too.
If you had to pick a starter based on what was going on for the first couple weeks of the season to be without, and you know, I'm not, this is not to pick on Luke Joeckel, but first of all, you'd say, all right, who are my guards? Right? Because it seems like a more replaceable position, and they hadn't been running the football to any kind of effect for the most part. So, you know, again, it would have been, he would have been high on the list, I think, of guys that you felt like if I had to do without one of these guys, that's not a shot on Luke. That's a shot more on the nature of the position as much as anything.
You got to clarify that with the fans out there.
Right. By the way, on the text line from the 904 area code, driven by Duval Ford, the moon is always moving, as they astutely point out. That is correct. So
technically, yes.
Technically, that is correct.
So the moon's going to move. Gruden can't be wrong.
Continue to move. Right.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
That's just the reality. That's life, man. The moon moves, and the Jaguars are coming back. That's just the facts of life.
I hope he's right.
According to John Gruden, Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night with Jeff Loggeman, also talking about the guy we were just talking about here, Luke Joeckel, and updates what's going on with him after the surgery.
He's already rehabbing. You know, they were doing some rehab work with him. Robbie, our physical therapist, so that process has already started. So I think he's getting a little bit more sleep. He's at that stage right now. But, you know, the surgery went very well.
This one on Tony Dungy visiting with the team during the bye week. Gus Bradley asked about that. What was your thought process about bringing him in, and how did that go?
We chose to have a guest speaker. You're mandated by the NFL to have a guest speaker in one time a year. So we chose to do it this past week on Wednesday. Tony Dungy came in and spoke to our team. So he was great. I think the players, we got an extra lift in. It gave us a chance to really get them off their feet and really get extra treatment. And help is so important in the NFL week by week. And it gave us an advantage to really try to get our team healthy.
Mandated to have a guest speaker once a year? NFL? Okay, whatever. You get a dunch on the butt. That's
the weirdest little things that they do.
The
right?
NFL is a weird, weird league. Gus also talking about the, getting back to some game action this weekend. Aaron Colvin back in the fold, his return to the team.
He has a certain set of goals. You know, obviously team goals and then personal goals. And his attitude was, you know what, Gus? My plan was to do this in 16 games. Now I guess I got to do it in 12. You know, it's just a very strong, very focused individual, great spirit, great energy when he came back into the building. You know, just great to have him back.
All right, a little bit more here from Gus Bradley here as we move past the return of Aaron Colvin to now his impact on the secondary and how much more that will help with consistency back there.
It does give us a chance to be more consistent. You know, we're looking every week prior to that, we're deciding, okay, how are we going to do this? Who's going to play nickel? Who's going to be on the outside? How are we going to set this up? For example, was it going to be Jalen on the inside and, you know, House and Prince on the perimeter? Or was it going to be Jalen on the outside with House or Prince and Gratz in the, you know, nickel? So those discussions come up. Now, pretty clear, you know, as far as who's going to be playing nickel and you know, where we go from here.
Which means Colvin will be playing nickel.
Sounds like it.
And right. And Ramsey and Amukamara look to be the lead guys on the outside.
Yeah, sounds like it. Unless they decide they need to spell Colvin, and then certainly Ramsey has shown that he can step inside in that nickel slot spot if they need him to. Gus also asked about the new auto linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Miles Jack.
You know, it's a position that now this will be his second week of playing it. So, you know, Miles will still be in the learning process, but he's got very good speed. The way he's playing now, the way his speed that's showing up on the tape, you know, along with a good edge setter like Dan Scuda. So a pretty good combination there for us.
All right, one more from Gus, and then a little bit later on we'll hear some of his thoughts on the opponent this week, the Chicago Bears. This is from the Gus Bradley Show last night and every Thursday night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. This one on the new starter for the Jags on the offensive line, Patrick Omame.
Yeah, he's a, you know, a big body, you know, very strong individual, brings some mass to that position now. So, you know, and his ability to be next to Calvin Beecham, I know, you know, that'll be a new relationship on the field, so be it. But, you know, they understand each other, they know each other, so hopefully that whole process, you know, we can speed it up. But he's playing pretty well right now.
All right, every Thursday, as we said, the Gus Bradley Show along with Jaguars Thursday right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Maybe you voted for him as your favorite regular weekly guest here on Jaguars Today. Tyler pandering to Duval Doom, by the way. Did you see that on Twitter? Doom's been in here five times. That doesn't mean he's been in here every day or every week since the beginning of this program. Come on, get with it, Tyler. But the other four who are in here on a mostly weekly basis, hey, where's David Garrard today, by the way? You could vote for on Aussie Jags Twitter timeline, Johnny O, Ryan O, Jeff Lagerman, David Garrard. Who's your favorite? I didn't put it out there. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. I did vote just so I could see the results. But John Osier from Jaguars.com will join us next right here in studio. Live at Everbank on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Beachbody on the Man. I've been talking about those guys for the last couple of weeks and starting to see some results now. As I lose weight, I start to get in a better shape every time I work out with Beachbody on Demand, the total solution for health, fitness, and weight loss. If you join Beachbody On Demand, you're going to get convenient access to over $6,000 of the most effective fitness and nutrition programs ever created. Familiar brands like P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix Extreme. I'm doing the three-week yoga retreat right now, and who knows what I'll try next. You can try anything you like with Beachbody On Demand with no obligation. It's a brand-new service, and Jaguars Today listeners, you can text my last name, Dempsey, to 30 30 30, and with that you're going to get access to a full 30 days of the entire platform of Beachbody On Demand. Check it out on your phone, on your iPad, on your smart TV. So convenient, you can work out anywhere that it's convenient for you, and you can pick the program that you like the best. Beachbody On Demand. Text Dempsey to 30 30 30 to get 30 days free access. That's Beachbody On Demand.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars will get back cornerback Aaron Colvin this week against Chicago. He missed the first four games due to suspension. Head coach Gus Bradley talked about his return last night on the Gus Bradley Show.
He has a certain set of goals, obviously team goals and then personal goals. And his attitude was, you know what, Gus? My plan was to do this in 16 games. Now I guess I got to do it in 12. You know, it's just very strong, very focused individual, great spirit, great energy when he came back into the building. Just great to have him back.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
Hey, is that in honor of Aussie Jag for posting the poll today?
Absolutely.
If it is, that's well done.
It is well done.
I like that. Hi, Johnny O. How are you?
Probably not too good, I guess.
We had you came in a moment ago, and we informed you about the poll.
Right.
I know you've been rapidly refreshing at your cubicle back there, but when you came in a moment ago, Lagerman at 33%,
right,
Garrard at 23%, and you and O'Halloran split the rest of the vote, 22%. So it was basically a three-way
right
tie
there
for second.
Yeah,
you're hanging in there.
Right.
Update: Lagerman remains at 33%.
Sure.
Okay. Garrard is now bumped up to 24%, and apparently he's drawing from the Osier crowd. Right.
Oh, really?
Now,
okay.
Because O'Halloran has held firm at 22, and you are down a tick to 21%. How do you feel about this?
Well, there's time left.
You're among four guys in the poll, and you're getting one fifth of the support. That seems about right.
Fight through adversity.
Yeah, that's fine. I've learned over the years that I'm a polarizing figure.
You are a great guy.
I'm like Tab. Either you love me or hate me.
Just hate. One calorie.
Right.
I hate Tab. That has nothing to do with my feelings about you. I do. I
could drink
it.
A Tab. I could drink a Tab. It wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah, there's actually it's one thing I remember from my marketing course in college. There's actually some sort of sugar element in Tab that physically either you love it and are almost addicted to it, or you're just repelled by it.
Interesting.
And I don't know what that had to do with my marketing class, but I remember, it was interesting. I remember my mom drank Tab when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And
it just seemed like the diet drink, right? So the original diet cola.
I think it was the first one. I remember it adds one calorie to, and I remember having one, and it was just repulsive. But some people love it. So
I'm with you, man. It's repulsive.
I like other Coke products out there. So, you know, if you're listening and you're a Tab person, it's not anti-company, it's just Tab.
Right. Because John's looking at his constituency now. Where am I going to draw votes from?
Losing the Tab vote at this point.
Alienate the Tab
right. That's going to kill me now.
I thought my description of wouldn't be my first choice, but I can stomach it. That's kind of like how I feel about the ozone. So. There you have
That's
it.
Fair. That could be my motto.
Coming in, dropping bombs.
It's not my first choice, but it's not all bad.
Trust me, if there were a Jaguar fandom poll between you and I would be polling 21% if I was lucky, and you would get the other 79%.
Well, that's nice of you to say. Probably not true, but nice of you to say.
I think it's pretty close.
But you're on the payroll.
I think it's pretty close. I'm not on the payroll. Why do you say that?
Don't sort that out.
Now, can I go back in and vote for O'Halloran?
Right. I wonder why I'm not doing well.
It's rigged. The whole system's rigged. Hey, heading up to Chicago this week. How many times have you made that road trip over the years, would you say?
I was there when Logs' career ended, Mr. 33%. That was where he got hurt in 98.
Mm-hmm.
Where he probably six. I've always been in the AFC, so I was there in 04 with the Colts, I believe. 2012, here they were here. So, yeah, not that often.
I've never been at Soldier Field. I've probably been about two-thirds of the NFL right. stadiums. And, you know, some of them are aesthetically just gorgeous. Lambeau had that awesome feel to it.
Fantastic.
To me,
right.
it did, right? How is Soldier Field? What is it? Does it have that kind of hallowed feel?
It does. It's cool. As a longtime NFL follower, it's always cool to go to the places that in some capacity existed when you were growing up, mm-hmm. which is Lambeau and all, you know. The design, when they redesigned it or updated it, is odd because you always hear about it sort of looking like a flying saucer, which it is. It was an odd redesign, but enough of the old Soldier Field with the, you know, all the images with the snow and the playoffs in 85 and those and the columns outside, those are still there. So when you walk up to Soldier Field, you know you're there, and that's cool.
All right, will it be cool for the Jags this week?
It better be.
Coming off their first win of the season. Tony and I were just talking about this a few minutes ago, John. There's no excuses in terms of health. Obviously, you lost Luke Joeckel, but every team in the league's probably lost somebody.
You're supposed to be able to lose a guard and cover it up.
Exactly. In that position, you should be able to cover that up because otherwise the offensive line is as healthy as it's been. Chris Ivory's ready to go. Marquise Lee has remained healthy. You get Colvin back. You're getting Odrick and Julius Thomas, and you've got, you know, great depth, it seems, on the defensive side.
Yeah.
So time now to go out and stack up some wins.
Well, I'm going to be a broken record on this, I guess, until they're out of it this year and whatever. To me, it's about three things. It's about protecting the ball. It's about the defense continuing to look and taking steps in the direction that it's taken in the last six quarters. You know, second half of the Ravens game, and against Indy, I know they gave up 27 against Indy, but when you watched that game, you felt like, hey, this defense has a chance. And then it's about Blake Bortles. You know, usually when teams are struggling to win, it's about not being able to get a pass rush to protect the lead, and it's about, is the quarterback making plays or is he hurting you? And too often this year he's hurt him. Against Indy, he didn't hurt him, and then he made some plays at the end of the game. So to me, this is a huge month, stretch, weeks for the team. But particularly for Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I think he's got to find that balance, continue to look for the balance between protecting the ball and making plays.
I think he's got to find out who he is. I didn't mean to interrupt you,
and
that'll probably cost me some points in the poll.
I doubt it.
But I think he's got to find out who he is. And maybe they found out a little bit of that against Indy of, hey, when it's not there, be decisive in your running. He's not a great pocket passer, zip, zip, zip down the field, Phillip Rivers guy yet. Maybe he'll become that. But they made some plays the other day against Indy, did some things, and I'm not saying game manager. Somebody asked me that this week. But be smart. Don't make the mistakes. Take the chances when they're there, when it's a smart time to take them. Those are the things I thought he did well against Indy. He didn't hurt the situation. And then when given the opportunity, he helped the situation. Be that guy for a while and then grow into what you're going to become.
It's kind of like poker. You know, you want to get your chips in when the odds are in your favor. You're not going to win all of those,
right.
You know, 55, 45 plays. But if you continue to put yourself in those positions
right.
over the long term, you will.
And a lot of it, too, is they've had a few opportunities for big plays this year. And they just have sort of just barely missed. I'm thinking of the was it Marquise against Baltimore out here where just barely missed. Just barely missed a couple to A-Rob. So when it's there, hit them. And, you know, I don't know how to do that, but that's what has to happen. If that indie game happens and you hit one big play, then all of a sudden you're looking at a game where you're thinking, okay, this kid's turning it around. So some of it on that front is circumstance. You've barely missed a couple of plays. If those go in your favor, maybe this season doesn't look as up and down as it has been. But mainly, don't turn the ball over. Give this defense a chance to be as good as we think it's becoming.
The running game, for what it's been, was the best it's been against
right.
Indianapolis. About 5 yards carry for T.J. Yeldon. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, we're building up a 14
sure.
carry, 71-yard performance like it's the Holy Grail, but that's what they've got to hang their hat on right now. Have you seen enough signs you think that could continue, or is this going to be a week-to-week struggle right now?
Well, the Colts aren't very good defensively, so it's hard to say, okay, they had 100 yards between the two backs in that game. But it's hard to say, yes, that's a trend.
Keep in mind, Jordan Howard then went for like a buck 16 on his own against them the very next week.
Right.
The Bears are going to roll out this week.
Right. So we saw enough, I think, in the first three games. Greg Olsen talked about it this week. There was one game, I guess it was the Baltimore game, that sort of felt disastrous. I don't know if that's the word he used, but that sort of woke him up a little bit. Really, in the Chargers game, they couldn't run after the first quarter. And their yards per carry against the Chargers wasn't bad. So I don't know that overall there were moments against the Packers when they stuck the ball in the end zone down here where you thought, okay, the running game, okay. And then against the Chargers early, and then they got away from it. And then against the Colts, they did okay. So there's enough there to make you think, yeah, they can build on the Colts game. I don't know that it's going to be 140-yard a game rushing team at any point this season. Chris Ivory being back, maybe healthy for the first time fully this year. We'll see how it is on Sunday.
How do you think Miles Jack did in his most extensive playing time?
Well, the book has been that he doesn't quite know where to go all the time yet, but point him in the right direction, he makes plays. I thought that was the case against Indy when he started. And I think that's why it's good to have Paz there. You know, if Paz sees Miles go to the other side of the field, he's going to go, hey, kid, over here. And then Miles is going to go run and make the play. And according to Paz and a couple of players this week, it's not fair to say that Miles doesn't know where he's going. He knows the defense. He's getting there. He's going to be fine. There's a few plays where that happens. And I think athletically you saw what he is. And he's going to be in the lineup. And I'd expect him to be playing very well in the next couple of weeks.
And when it stops happening, when Puz no longer has to point him in those directions
right.
a couple times a game, and you know Puz does slow down at some point, if
sure.
he does, then that's when Miles Jack may be on the field on nickel situations too. But
right.
they have to be comfortable with him knowing where he needs
right.
to be all the time before they're going to do that.
And I think that's the interesting thing is his strength clearly, at some point you look at this guy and think that he's probably going to be an elite-level passing situation linebacker. That was the strength to come out of college. With Otto, you're coming off the field in that situation. When does it sort of transition where they say, okay, he's got to be on the field in passing situations? Also, I don't want to overplay him not knowing where he's going. There were a couple of plays in London. He knows the defense. He's getting there. He's fine for a rookie. And I think that's the most striking thing about the first 4 weeks of the season is all of a sudden you've got five defensive players who never played in the NFL before September, Day, Fowler, Ramsey, Ngakoue, and Jack. Wow. All of a sudden that starts to look like
very talented young core.
Like your core.
Yeah.
And that's – I'm not sure I've ever seen – I certainly never covered a situation where all of a sudden you look and you see five guys like that who you think this might be what we're going to be watching, and they – by definition, haven't scratched the surface yet. That's going to get interesting.
And in addition to that, you've got several other young guys
mm-hmm.
and guys just going into their second contracts.
Right.
I mean, you've got the vast majority of this defense could be together for the
yeah.
foreseeable future.
And even Malik Jackson. I mean, I'm writing about Malik for Saturday. it's a pretty remarkable thing. How many times you guys covering the league on a fantasy basis have you seen guys sign free agent contracts and 4 or 5 weeks in, everybody's going, God, why'd we sign him?
Sure.
What are we doing? He's been the opposite of that. I mean, if you can live up to $90 million, so far he's in that stratosphere. I mean, he's playing remarkably well. That's not easy to do as a free agent because there's a lot of things coming in. Usually it's the second year for a free agent where they start being that guy, if they're ever that guy at all. So tough situation for him, and I think a credit to him for doing well so far.
By the way, Tony, how many calls, tweets, and texts did we get after week one? They should have signed Mario Williams. Mario Williams has 3 tackles in 5 games,
and
including the 1 sack he had, which was in week one.
I think what's interesting about Malik, when you watch him, he's an effort guy too now.
No doubt.
It's not like he's making a few impact plays and then taking plays off. He hustles. He runs down to the ball. You're supposed to. I'm not saying that's any great thing in the NFL, but it's notable that he's not just a pass rush guy. He's not just run, he's giving it all on every play. Interesting to watch. You don't always get that from an unrestricted free agent who's guaranteed 42.
I would head back to your campaign headquarters now. I'd put together some talking points, try to push those
out. Is it bad? Is it getting worse?
On the website. No. You're still right.
So I feel like I've had a good segment.
Not much has changed.
Maybe it's too late for me.
We often, you know, these polls don't – you need time for that to bake in. We'll probably need another 10 minutes or so for the polling to catch
up
with
the
content.
Not good. I mean, this is – it may be a tough week for me next week.
Big fan of the content.
If I don't emotionally recover.
Update. You want an update? Loggeman down to 32%. Down to 32%. Garrard down to 23%. O'Halloran up to 23%. And Ogier up to 22%.
It's a flawed poll.
It's still very much within the margin of error for second place right now. So.
Well, it's maybe it says about it, most people voting may not be working.
Is that what it is?
I
love the underemployed.
I'm going to roll up the sleeves and start taking shots at people now. That's my MO.
All right. Well, at Aussie Jag is where you'll find that Twitter poll.
I blame him.
John's going back and
he's dead to
every
me.
Device he owns. It's going to go bad as stats. John, we'll see you for the pregame show, among other things, on Sunday.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Johnny.
The big loser's out.
John Ogier, stop it. He's at John Ogier on Twitter. Go in there and tell him how much you absolutely love his every appearance here on Jaguars Today, including Fridays. No, he's not solid. Don't say that. Come on, kiss of death right there. You got that. He's solid, John. We are brought to you every Friday by our friends at Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Appreciate those guys. 287-7756 if you've got any concerns with your roof following Hurricane Matthew. That's Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Coming back this date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Don't mess with me, Tyler. Joe's at the board over here, and he's threatening to screw us up on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Got a lot of things that happened on this date. October 14th, go back to 1951, Detroit Lion Jack Christensen returned 2 punts for touchdowns in the same game versus the L.A. Rams. 1962, George Blanda threw for 6 touchdowns against the New York Titans in a 56-17 win for the Houston Oilers. In 1990, quarterback Joe Montana pulled the same feat, 6 TD passes versus the Falcons as the 49ers knocked them off 45-35. In 1990, also same exact day that Montana's throwing 6, Houston quarterback Warren Moon threw for 369 yards and 5 TDs as the Oilers beat Cincinnati 48-17. Moon, with that performance, became the first person to throw for over 20,000 yards in 2 different professional leagues. Of course, he passed for over 21,000 in the Canadian Football League. And on this date in 1996, Packer Chris Jackie kicked the longest field goal to end an overtime game, at least at the time, 53 yards. Famous birthdays for October 14th, 1947. Charlie Joyner, one of my favorites growing up, a Hall of Fame inductee in 1996, a 3-time Pro Bowler, 1-time first-team All-Pro wide receiver, primarily with the San Diego Chargers, or at least most known for his time with the Chargers. He turned 69 today. Frank Wycheck, now a broadcaster up in Nashville. He certainly is not a guy Jaguar fans remember fondly. 45 years old today, a 3-time Pro Bowler. Javon Walker, former Florida State wide receiver, went to Green Bay, had the big year, Tony, got hurt had the contract holdout. Brett Favre criticized him publicly. It's probably what he's best known for at this point. He's 38 years old. Justin Forsett, former Jaguar, now a Detroit Lion, is 31 today. He made the Pro Bowl a few years ago as well. And first overall pick in this year's NFL draft, Jared Goff, turns 22 years young, still waiting for his first NFL experience. And that does it for This Date in Football, presented by Dr. James McCullough's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you have any dental needs, family dentist, cosmetic work, 620-9225, and visit jamesjmccullough.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Miami Dolphins rookie offensive lineman and first-round draft pick this year, Laremy Tunsil, missed the Dolphins game last week against Tennessee because of an ankle injury he suffered when stepping out of his shower on game day morning. Says that he expects to be able to play this week against Pittsburgh. The injury was to the same ankle that he's had to have surgery on in the past, but he said it was a freak accident. He should be fine going forward. The Dolphins also expect to get Brandon Albert back from injury this week. So the left side of that line back intact, hopefully for them. Denver Broncos left tackle Russell Okung was able to play the entire game for the Broncos last night, but after the game in the locker room, he was having some difficulties, eventually taken to a hospital after spending almost an hour in the trainer's room. According to the Broncos, Okung was evaluated for concussion-like symptoms, but did tweet last night that he was all good. The fans' Pro Bowl voting has begun, but the defensive end with the most sacks in the NFL is not listed among the 54 names that fans can vote for at the position. 54 names, and the leading sacker not listed. Any idea who that might be?
The leading sacker in the National Football League.
On a defensive line. Because Von Miller is technically the leader, 7.5 sacks.
Ngakoue, I don't know. Who is it?
Detroit's Kerry Hyder has 5 sacks to this point this season, which isn't the most in the NFL. That's Von Miller at 7.5. But is the most among defensive ends in the National Football League. Hyder, for his part, not upset about not being on the ballot, says that most people wouldn't know who he is anyway.
I have him on 2 fantasy teams. I really do.
Yeah, Kerry, they might learn who you are if you're on the Pro Bowl ballot and it lists 5 sacks next to your name. As people are going through there and trying to figure out which of the 6 guys they want to vote for, they might throw one to the guy who has the most sacks at the position in the league. But
well, good for him.
Yeah, good for the guy that he's not upset about it either. But 54 names in the NFL can't even put the guy who's leading
the most important. It's not like you can't edit those ballots, right?
Right.
They're online. You didn't print these up in August, and oh, shucks, we just missed out on Kerry Hyder. Who could have predicted?
Yeah.
You can certainly adjust that.
Tied with Leonard Williams with 5 sacks.
Well, good for him. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. We'll hear a little bit more from Gus Bradley coming up on the opponent, the Chicago Bears. Just want to read out something sent out by the Jags and the NFL. The Jags and the Jaguars Foundation are going to make a $25,000 contribution to the Northeast Florida chapter of the American Red Cross, as the Jags will evaluate opportunities to offer continued support in relief and recovery efforts as they evolve in the coming weeks following Hurricane Matthew. This donation is designed to support the immediate short-term needs of those here on the First Coast who are in need of assistance. And the Jags also plan to recognize and salute area first responders at the next home game. That, of course, coming up on October 23rd versus the Oakland Raiders. Not that you wouldn't have expected the Jags to do something. That's an initial investment with more opportunities to come that they're looking for to help out here on the First Coast. 641-1010. Let's go all the way across country, Tony. Philip is in Oakland, California, getting up early to talk Jaguar football this morning. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good. What's up, man?
Oh, man. I got 2 things. I'll make it quick. A couple days ago, I've seen some stuff on social media about Jalen Ramsey. They were talking about how feminine this guy is. And,
all right.
And
you know what?
Dressing.
Whatever. Okay. So, go continue. Is he gone, Tyler? Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Okay, if he catches wind of that, man, it's going to ignite something inside of him, and the NFL doesn't want to see that. So those guys, man, they're, you know what, screw them.
Let me just say this for the record. Jalen Ramsey's a hell of a football player. Would I wish he was a little more open with the media? Absolutely. Is that any reason that I'm going to hold against him? No. I'm going to judge you what you do on the football field. I would hope everybody else is grown up and mature enough to do the same, and period. And end of story. I could care less about his personality or any of that other stuff as long as he's not committing crimes, and he's not. He's a good guy. He's a hell of a football player. Let's just let him do that.
Yeah, and it seems like he comes from a good family, you know. So, I mean, all ups to him, all ups to our team, the Jags. And then the second thing that I want to say is that, you know, growing up in the Bay Area, especially by Oakland, and this year, the offseason, everyone was comparing us to how Oakland and, you know, the next great rivalry between Bortles and Carr. And I usually root for Oakland, except when they're playing Jacksonville. And this year, I have to honestly say that I'm kind of bitter because – they're winning these close games, and we're still shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're losing these close games. And, yeah, I'm kind of a hater right now with Oakland, man, because I'm not going to – I hear it all the time from my relatives and friends, like, oh, well, what happened to your guys' team? And I can't say anything because they have Del Rio, and they're doing good, man, in a highly competitive AFC West.
Look, I give them credit, absolutely, but I think they're, you know, a team that has found a way to make those plays late. Philip, thank you for the call. Late in games, Tony?
Yeah, technically lead it today.
Right, that the Jags haven't. Right, lead the division. But the Jags get your chance to help you have a more comfortable day-to-day existence out there on the West Coast in about 10 days. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll be able to look back on a Jaguar victory over the Oakland Raiders and say, now, what's up with Derek Carr and the crew out there? You know, I found it a little bit striking last night. You watch how many late leads that the San Diego Chargers have let get away. And you heard him talk. It sounded very familiar. Phillip Rivers saying, you know, all we need is one win, and these young guys will go, aha, that's how it's done. But here they are, Tony, with a guy who's a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe over the borderline, right? Maybe a Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers. And that team is still making mistakes. And so you can have the answer at that position, and still it takes more than that to find the winning formula. It's still a team game, as cliche as that sounds. The Jags just haven't had that success. Doesn't mean they can't. Right now, San Diego feels really good about themselves. They just knocked off Denver. They're like, hey, forget the first month of the season, right? We're going to put that behind us. They're 2-4, right? The Jags, at least, have only lost three games. You win this week, you're ahead record-wise of the San Diego Chargers. No reason you can't feel good about yourself if you can start to put a few of these games together as well. That's the challenge, though. You got to do it.
And, you know, I'm watching San Diego the last couple weeks during the bye week last week when, you know, they're going head-to-head with Oakland and the botched field goal attempt at the end of the game that could have possibly tied it. And then I'm watching that game last night as Denver is ferociously coming back in the fourth quarter of that game. And actually, outside of a holding that was just unnecessary by Russell Okung at left tackle on a touchdown that C.J. Anderson scored, who knows what happens in the last 3.5 minutes of that game. I mean, they were doing shots of the San Diego sideline. They looked shell-shocked with what was happening in that game again. And I've been watching the last couple weeks, and I can't help but think that with what was happening with Denver with 3.5 minutes left in that game, I was like, every team that has pushed this team into the fourth quarter has watched them fold. Right, like at that point, it was just every team that had pushed them to that point has watched them just fold up their tent in the fourth quarter. The only team that couldn't get them to that point in the game was the Jacksonville Jaguars to that point in the season. Now, they held on last night and beat the defending Super Bowl champs, so that kills some of that narrative a little bit. But that San Diego team has been so bad in the fourth quarter of games, and Jacksonville just couldn't get it to a point where it mattered.
This in from John Osher, clearly pandering for votes. He's passing along now what he reports as information on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Twitter. Corey Grant, Neil Sterling, and Rashad Green all questionable for Sunday. Every other Jaguar is off the injury report right now. Although it's a little concerning that, you know, two of the three guys that are questionable, that's your return game right there, right? And look, I think it
may be a Walters week.
It could be a Walters week. It could be a Marquise Lee week, depending on the circumstance of the game at punt return. It could be Denard Robinson getting some kick returns, or it could be that both of these guys will be active on game day. It's just a questionable tag. It's not out. certainly, and then Neil Sterling as well. But that means Julius Thomas, Jared Odrick, guys like that, not even on the injury report. So Jags, for the most part, good to go heading to Chicago this weekend. We're going to head to the Jaguar locker room through the eyes and ears of Tony Smith. Coming up next, Aaron Colvin and Roy Miller. Tony got a chance to catch up with those guys yesterday, and you'll hear those conversations coming up. Our actual question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is give us your three keys to victory for the Jags this week. We'll check in on social media a little bit later on to see what you're thinking the Jags need to do to get that second win of the season. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, there you go. Quarterback of your Jags. What are you smiling at over there?
I just can't ever hear this song without seeing Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
Slamming that cowbell,
right? Donk, 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 donk. Yes. The Bruce Dickinson. All right. There you have it. It's almost time to hear from Tony catching up with Aaron Colvin and Roy Miller in the locker room yesterday with your Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to remind you, we mentioned it earlier, FanDuel League got canceled last week. Because it didn't fill. Obviously, people were preoccupied with other things. That's all well and good. I just wanted to throw it out there. If you're planning on getting in, there are only just about 25 spots left. You can only get in with one lineup this week. That's what it's capped at, 50 people, one lineup, FanDuel.com/Mike. If it doesn't fill, it is not going to go off, and it's not going to pay out. So if you're in and you're worried about it, just mention it to some of your friends. Get on board, FanDuel.com/Mike. All right, yesterday, Tony, let's set it up. We'll start with Aaron Colvin here. Mm-hmm. What were you trying to get out of Aaron as he gets ready to make his season debut?
Just talking to him a little bit about getting ready for that. And, you know, he hasn't had an opportunity to be out there on the field with these guys yet in a regular season game. And just wanted to see where he was mentally trying to get ready for this. The coaches have obviously been very their praise has been high for him coming back. I know Todd Wash even said early in the week that the first rep they had with Aaron Colvin back on the practice field on Monday, they threw kind of a weird run fit at him, and he picked it up immediately. So he's obviously been watching the tape, getting himself ready for these games, and knowing he'd be back here for the Chicago game, and had the opportunity to catch up with him in the locker room yesterday.
Just how frustrating was that first 4 weeks for you just not being able to be out there with your teammates?
It was difficult not to be out there and just to help the team and the defense, but at the same time, it was exciting to see those guys play well and see them play well in the secondary. I would say it was a little bit more disappointing when I first found out compared to during the season, just because I think I was mentally ready and mentally prepared for it.
Are you excited to get out there with these guys? I know you haven't had a chance in a regular season game, at least, to be out there with this revamped defense.
No question. I mean, just to go out there and play with my brothers and to go out there and do what I love, it's going to be an awesome feeling. And, you know, the football field is kind of like my safe haven. So I'm ready to go out there and just let loose.
I know you came into the league. You're a guy who's kind of got that quick twitch ability to make those short moves playing in the slot. How do you describe your own game?
I'm a confident player. I don't think there's a receiver too big or too small for me. I don't think there's a receiver too fast or too strong for me. So I think I can match up with anybody on the field, and that's just my mindset. And, you know, I do take advantage of my quick twitch fibers, and I like to go out there and just physically be able to mirror a receiver.
Do you prefer to play inside, outside, no preference?
I love both. I love what the outside brings as far as manning up one-on-one, but I love being able to have vision on the quarterback and be able to blitz inside.
What are the challenges of playing in the slot as opposed to playing outside?
The amount of info. You know, there's a lot going on in the inside. You have to know a lot of stuff because essentially you're another linebacker. But then outside, you have to really hone in on the receiver because, you know, those guys outside can beat you with one play and turn it into a bad draw. So you just got to be able to balance it out.
What kind of role do you expect to play this weekend?
Can't answer that. I just know when I'm out there, I'm going to make plays.
Yeah, he's not going to give the details of the assignment this weekend.
Right, I get that.
Oh, yeah.
Totally,
that's why
understandable.
I chuckled.
He's a very confident guy.
No doubt.
And that's fine. You want your corners in particular to be confident, I think. You look at that wide receiver core this week, Tony. They're pretty banged up. Eddie Royal has not practiced the last couple of days. You would think that's where a lot of Aaron Colvin's attention might go, is to,
sure,
Eddie Royal. Had a lot of catches last week, but not much yardage. And you wonder if the injury is holding him back. He's got a calf injury right now. Alshon Jeffrey practicing only on a limited basis with a hamstring injury. And the last couple of years, he's been plagued by soft tissue injuries.
No doubt.
But he's capable of going off at any time. I think he's going to have his hands full with Jalen Ramsey, though.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting here over the course of the next couple of weeks to be able to talk to Colvin and see how he feels about the communication that they have on the back end of that defense with all these new faces back there, with Gibson out at the free safety spot, with Ramsey coming in as a first-round pick, and all these new guys and new places, Prince Amukamara coming in, and Colvin's been here for the last couple of years. What is the communication there on that back end? He couldn't really speak to it yesterday, obviously, because he hasn't played with these guys yet. But I think over the next couple of weeks, being able to talk to him and Cyprian about the difference there on that back end will be interesting.
Yeah, you never know with limited practices, by the way, how much that's going to impact any one given guy, because you have to list them if they're at all, somewhat hampered. But the Bears have a lot of guys on the injury report, either limited in practice this week or not practicing at all. As you heard through John Osier's eyes and ears, that only three guys questionable for the Jags this week. Everybody else off the injury report.
Yep.
6-4-1-10-10. Let's go up to Atlanta and talk to Justin, who wants to weigh in on a number of things Jaguar related this morning. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Great. Good. What's up, man?
Hey, just a couple things. One, I know he's not a regular guest on the show, but I still think you should get some honorable mentions because I love listening to him. I think he's intelligent, genuine, and very passionate. Just very motivating guys. Double D should be on the show a little bit more, I think. I love listening to that guy.
We love having him in, we got an open door policy with Donovan, so you will hear him plenty more.
Okay, good deal. And secondly, I could be wrong about this, but I thought I read a quote asking Chris Ivory how he felt, and he said the knee felt much better. So I assume just by reading that the illness that kept him out for whatever it was had something to do with that, and I just wanted to see if you guys knew anything further about that, and then I'll take your answers off the air.
All right, thanks, man. What kept him out had nothing to do with his knee.
No.
So
it's been weird. Like yesterday, I asked Gus Bradley about, he had been asked a couple questions about T.J. Yeldon, and I asked, what's going on with Chris Ivory? Does he look like he's finally back and ready? And his answer almost made it sound like he was sick or something early in the week, and that's what he was responding to is, he's better now. Right, and it's like it's this weird thing. And if Chris is going to mention the knee, it's like, what is going on with this guy right now?
But the reason he missed games was nothing to do with
the knee. No.
Right, so I'm going to take Chris Ivory's word that he's good to go. He's not at all on the injury report for anything. So, go to Chicago and do what they signed you to do, which is provide a physical presence
Hammer.
In that backfield. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Chicago, we don't have time to get Roy Miller in on this side, so let's hear a couple of quick thoughts from Gus Bradley yesterday weighing in on the Chicago Bears, starting with his opposite number on the other sideline, John Fox.
I really like Coach Fox. I've got a chance to know him the last couple of years, at the head coaching meetings, and we spent some time together at the combine. So, yeah, I could see, just like what you said, if you have a chance to sit down and visit with him, he's very engaging, great personality. You can see why his players love playing for him, enjoy him, and a fierce competitor.
No doubt about it. So, and the guy's taken a couple different teams to the Super Bowl. So, obviously, a long run of success for John Fox in this league. That doesn't even include his time as a defensive coordinator when he was with the New York Giants. Gus also talked about the quarterback on the opposite side, Brian Hoyer, who's been good the last couple of weeks.
He is a rhythm passer. Once he gets on a rhythm, he can do some damage. The last three games now, he's had over 300 yards passing, and that's not surprising to us. I think that he gets rid of the ball. He makes very good decisions. And you can see that when he's on the field with the offense, there's a lot of energy. And you can tell that just by watching the game. So you know that the players are really rallying around him. They've got great trust in him. So he's just playing at a real high level right now.
He did not see Alshon Jeffrey wide open, though, on what would have been a game-winning touchdown, or could have been a game-winning touchdown against the Colts last week. That would have helped you out as a Jaguar fan. This is what Gus had to say, however, about the Bears' top wide receiver.
He's obviously a guy that you got to know where he is on the field. Uses his body very well. Can make the big catch for him. You know, you would think that he'd be a guy that's going to go the, you know, more deeper developing type routes, but he can catch those intermediate and short routes and does a good job getting going and getting yards after catch. So obviously a guy that we need to be aware of.
All right, there you go, Gus Bradley. A few thoughts on the opponent this week. That was from the Gus Bradley Show, which airs every Thursday night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We'll step aside, but when we return, Fat Tony with Roy Miller. We'll update the question of the day, asking you for your keys to victory, but most importantly, Aussie Jags poll of your favorite host, co-host on the show, given the four options of John Osier, Ryan O'Halloran, David Garrard, and Jeff Lagerman. Where do things stand right now? You can check out my Twitter timeline or any of our Twitter timelines. We all retweeted it. Or just go to @AussieJag. He's the one who started the poll this morning, so we're having a little bit of fun with that. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Things settling down once again in Jacksonville. But you know what? One thing has never changed, and that is the quality and the service, the satisfaction that you get from Dandy Foods. Dandy sandwiches and subs and the Anytime Deli line, part of the Dandy family, always deliver. You always know what you're going to get, and it's always going to be good. You're going to have fantastic variety, so you pick what you want. It's always going to be fresh. The price is right. You pop into your local Circle K or Kangaroo Express, head straight to the fresh case. They've got so many new menu items now, not just the classics like the classic Cuban or the tuna salad. Love those. But they've got new breakfast sliders, a two-pack for only $3. No better deal for breakfast on the go anywhere in town, and you don't have to sit in a long drive-through line to get it. They've also got the lunchtime wraps if you're looking for a little bit of lighter fare to get your afternoon going. Whether it's tailgating, anytime, really, you're hungry for food on the go. Lunchtime coming up. Do what I do, folks. Go out and make yours a Dandy. Do it today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Last night, it was Meet Me at the 50 at Everbank Field. Special guest John Gruden was in attendance, and he had a chance to join the Gus Bradley Show, and he had some pretty positive words for head coach Gus Bradley.
He's the best coach, I think, in the league. If I could hire one coach to be on my team today, I'm not kidding, I'd hire Gus Bradley. That's what the impression he made on me. He inherited a very difficult situation here. Nobody wants to admit it these days, but you watch the next four games, what happens. The moon is going to move. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, rolling along here on a Friday edition of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Had the opportunity yesterday going into the Jaguars locker room to catch up with Jaguars defensive tackle Roy Miller. Talked about a bunch of stuff, including those young pass rushers on either side of him. Thought his answer to kind of what he sees out of those two guys is interesting. As far just a little bit of insight, I think, into what the locker room sees with Dante Fowler Jr. and Yannick Ngakoue. Also had the chance to ask him about the attitude on this football team and how much it has changed in the 4 years that he has been here. Here's my conversation with Roy Miller.
Obviously some really good guards in the Chicago Bears team. What kind of challenge do they present for you guys?
Yeah, they're two of the best guards in the league. They help protect the pocket, and they do well on the run. And so they're going to be a challenge just run and pass.
I know the last couple weeks, Jordan Howard has really emerged in that Bears backfield. What are you seeing from the rookie on tape?
You know, he has a lot of speed, really good vision. Obviously, the O-line does a good job opening up lanes for him. So they work together. And so it's going to be a challenge, and I think we're ready for it.
Playing next to a guy like Malik Jackson, your first opportunity to have him here in Jacksonville this year. What have you noticed from him through the first 4 weeks of the year?
He's just a disruptive player. You know, brings leadership to the team, brings a lot of passion. Enjoy him as a teammate and as a player. I think he's doing well. And I think just like a lot of other new guys, they're trying to understand how to play off of each other. And I think we're making progress with that.
How difficult is that? Is it just it takes some time to get used to the guys around you? I know there's a lot of youth on this team too.
Yeah, it does. It takes time because you have to know the guys' weaknesses, his strength as a player. You got to know on certain plays that they struggle with them, so that you can you know, help out in their duties, and you just got to know what kind of threat they pose to the other team, because that'll help you know kind of what to expect for yourself and how many offensive linemen are going to go turn to that guy or whatnot. And so it's very important. I think, like I said, we're getting there as a unit.
Young guys on the outside, too. I know you're lining up next to Unique and Dante play after play. What have you seen from those guys, just their growth since they got here to this point in the season?
Guys are doing very well. I'm very impressed with the way Yannick comes in here and as a professional. He's taking notes. He's coming in here like a true vet. He has a lot of respect for the game. He has a motor and he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I like that a lot. Dante's doing well. He's an athletic guy, and he's out there doing his thing, and he hustles hard to the ball. And it's fun watching him play as well. So.
You know, Dante, have you ever had the chance to line up next to a guy that just has that kind of athleticism at that position? I know he hasn't reached his full potential yet, got a lot of work left to do, but just what he can do as an athlete at that spot.
Yeah, he's a very athletic person. I haven't seen too many guys like him in any position in the NFL. I mean, he's a very athletic, and that sounds cliche, but it's very true. And so I think he has a few things that he's learning, as you would expect, as any young player. And as soon as he gets those right, he's going to be something to reckon with for the next 10 years in the league.
I know you've seen, you've been here for the last couple of years, so you've been watching kind of the maturity of this team. Have you felt a difference in attitude to this point in this season than you have maybe the previous 3 years?
Yeah, I do. I feel like there's a different level of confidence on this team, specifically on this defense. So, we feel like the offense is going to move the ball. We feel like we have the players that can stop any situation. I feel like we can stop the run and the pass. And I feel a sense of hunger. You know, guys just want to compete against each other. They want to compete. You know, you got a guy like Prince competing with House and Aaron Colvin. And all those guys competing. Yannick, Dante, you know, me, Avery, Tyson, and Jared, Malik, and Sendere. You know, it just pause, you know. And Miles, if you were another team, you would take any of those players, you know, on your team at any point in time. But on this team, I think it helps us to go out there knowing that we've competed our butts off, knowing that we've earned a spot, knowing that we have depth. That a guy goes down or a guy comes out, same level is expected, and the guy's capable of playing at that level. And so that's a difference, and that's a big difference that we haven't had, I think, on this team is the depth. And I think that's something that is going to help this team and this franchise out for years to come.
One last question, Roy. I know the 1-3 start, frustrating for you guys. Is there a sense of urgency knowing that this game against Chicago gives you the opportunity to maybe get this thing turned back in the right direction?
I think there's just this momentum that I think we've been building. It's easy to look at the record and say 1-3, and that's true. I mean, we've only won one game, and I think the story behind it, as far as defense playing against Green Bay, okay, we did good, and then we came short, obviously. Played San Diego, and we got shot. I think that was a good chance for us to go into week three, figure out who we are, and see how good of a defense we could be. And went out there, played the Baltimore Ravens close again. But what I'm saying is that there's different phases and different stories that you got to pull from each game. I think every team goes on a journey to try to figure out who they are. And I think leading up to week four, we felt that we had confidence that kind of came through what the coaches were showing us who we could be. And I think that we just need to keep carrying that forward and keep believing in the process. And I think we can be something special.
Appreciate it, Roy.
All right, there you go, Roy Miller, who had a lot of good things to say, Tony. But in addition to that, it's just fun because we interview a lot of guys at this set to take folks inside the locker room. You know what I mean?
That was Malik Jackson yelling at Chris Smith over our heads.
Smitty!
By the way. Is it no man, no one? Is it no man, no one? Like, it's just, and I kind of looked at him and he just laughed at me. They don't care.
And they shouldn't. I mean, it gives you a little flavor of the locker room, what's going on in there.
Ping pong, not so much anymore. I think the ping pong guys are out. It's still in the room, but I haven't seen anyone playing.
You know, it's kind of like the pool table down at 1010XL World Headquarters.
You don't use the pool table.
That was in the early days. People don't even realize we have a pool table to come in view because we keep it covered. come and visit us. But in the early days, basically, the people who spent time playing pool are no longer with us.
No, they're
1010XL.
I did think it was interesting, though. You know, you ask Roy about the two outside pass rushers, and the answer about Unique is this guy he's good in the classroom. He's asking the right questions. You know, you see the effort. He's this hardworking guy. Dante's a really, really good athlete. Right, and you can kind of sense that from the guys. You can sense that even from the coaches that Dante still needs to take this next step to fully take advantage of the gifts that he has. And it feels like Unique is pushing Dante Fowler in Jacksonville right now because he's trying to take advantage of every opportunity that he's given right
good.
Now.
Good. Yeah. Let him continue to do it because he's playing well right now. All right, quick look before we get to the big poll that everyone cares about. Quick look at the fan feedback spotlight. Keys to victory today.
Here's what we got from Jarrell. Number one, movement of the moon. Gus Bradley is the best coach in the league and no turnovers this week. From Aussie Jag, no turnovers, restart that running game, and Cutler starts at quarterback rather than Hoyer. From Demetrius, let Ramsey shadow Alshon Jeffrey. Two, an efficient and balanced run-pass attack. Number three, keep Blake clean. From Senor Fuentes, we got Ramsey shuts down Jeffrey. Five sacks from the defense and rush for over 100 yards. From Andy, massively reduced penalties. Reduce silly mistakes and keep it simple. From Brian, stop the run, take away Hoyer's primary read, and be to the plus side on turnovers. From Justin, discipline, offenses need to control time of possession and positive plays. And from Alvaro, Blake Bortles, do not turn the ball over. Julius Thomas, two touchdowns. And in Dante Fowler, I trust. And finally, from B, we got 120-plus rush yards, no key turnovers, stop the run, confident in pass defense, and special teams.
All right. Most of the same kind of stuff on Facebook there. A lot of stop the run and establish the run both there. And then Dustin just simply went with win, which is going to be a key to have more points on the scoreboard at the end of the 60 minutes of play or overtime. Come on. That's all a preamble to what people want to know right now, though. All right. The poll that was put out this morning by Aussie Jag on Twitter, good friend of the program, good Jaguar fan. There's where things stand now. We've got the drum roll, but the poll will continue for a number of hours up on Twitter because things never die there. Nearly 200 votes cast this morning in the two-hour period. Jeff Loggeman, your winner right now. Where he's been all morning long at 34%. That's not really where the intrigue is, though. Is it, Tony?
No.
This has fluctuated in the last few minutes. Ogier surged into a tie with David Garrard for second place, and he dropped back, and it's been back and forth. The three other participants have garnered 21%, 22%, and 23% of the vote, respectively, as your favorite weekday guest slash host here on Jaguars Today, not named Tony Smith. And David Garrard, right now in second place with 23%. Ryan O'Halloran in third place with 22%. And Johnny O, still bringing up the rear, the Ozone. This is a bit of a shocker to me that he's in last place, but well within the statistical model margin for error there. Still plenty of time to overtake at least Garrard and O'Halloran, if not Loggeman. You can continue to vote on Twitter at Aussie Jag. We will use this to great effect, I'm sure, going forward.
Yeah, I retweeted it, so you can check it out on my timeline as well. Do the Jags win in Chicago?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I don't know what I mean.
I feel weird saying it, but I think so.
I think it's going to be like a 10-point win when it's all said and done. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to hold them off two scores the whole game. I think the final margin be something like 27-17. At least that's what I'm looking for out of the Jags this weekend. So we got two here. What about you, Tyler Devitt? You going to make it three in a row or all three?
I'm going to make it three in a row. I just can't pick the Bears of all teams to beat the Jags. I don't think the Bears are a good football team at all.
I don't either, and I hope the Jags are. I know the Jags are a talented team. I don't know if they're a good team yet either, though, and they need to go out and show that they are by doing things like winning this very, very winnable game. Must win, sure, if you want to consider it that. whatever the case, however you want to look at it, just go get it done this Sunday in Chicago. Safe travels to the Jags and all the traveling party that's going to make the trip up there. From whoever that happens to be, all the way down to the last guy packing up the boxes and shoving them on the plane, and come back with a W. That's all we're looking for. Tony, what do you got coming up this weekend?
I got Bulls football tonight, homecoming over there at the campus of Bulls, so come check it out if you got nothing going on a Friday night. Also, I think kickoff tonight is 7:30, so pregame at 7:15 here on 1010XL. Tomorrow I got nothing, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to a pumpkin carving party at my brother's house.
That sounds fascinating.
I went last year. It was a lot of fun. And then Sunday morning, obviously, we'll kick things off here with our Jaguars coverage on 1010XL 92.5 FM with the pregame show with Lauren Blythe and I. We'll get things started at 8 a.m. heading into the Publix tailgate show right here with you guys. So, looking forward to it.
All right. In addition to that, you can catch me on Sirius tonight.
Oh, the TV show. Forgot.
Yeah, Sirius 210 XM 87 from 6 until 8 tonight, and on CW 17 with Tony Saturday at 11, Sunday morning at 11:30, as we bring you your Jacks Fantasy Football for Week 6. We're about to shuffle off and go film that over at the CW studios and find out if Marcel Robinson got his power back.
I hope so, man.
I do too, for his sake and for ours as well. All right, we'll say hello to the boys in the Midday Chalk coming up next. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, folks. If you had any issues with your roof, we hope you don't. You need to look for water stains on ceilings and walls. Inspect your roof for missing or loose shingles. And if you have leaks, so whether it's at your home, a commercial building, call First Coast Roofing, 287-7756. They have a team of public insurance adjusters to assist with any repairs to storm damage. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our longtime sponsor on Fridays here at Jaguars Today. License number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for John Osier, who joined us today, even though he trails in the poll right now, there's still time to vote. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to Midday Chalk next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
You guys have a good day. Peace.